I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the 121st Psalm, Psalm 121. And it's very, very important, if you want a profit from this sermon this morning, to open up your Bibles and have this before you, because I'm going to deal with it a little bit differently. Some spots where you need to be thinking and to adore God where you need to adore Him this morning for His goodness to us. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but notice above Psalm 121, in most of your Bibles, you will see written a song of ascents. Now, let me say something about that. I'm not 100% sure what that means, but most theologians, most Bible scholars, and most preachers believe that the songs of ascent were the ones that the Israelites would sing as they went to special feast in the city of Jerusalem. They would make their ascend from the plain up to the holy mountain in Jerusalem to bring their sacrifices and worship. And throughout history, many have believed that these songs of ascent were used on those particular occasions, and I tend to think that they're accurate in making that observation. I do know this. John Calvin, the great Bible scholar, once said that every emotion of the human soul is found in this psalm. Every emotion of the human soul can be uncovered in this great psalm. So let's pray, and then we'll read it together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word that's infallible, inerrant, authoritative, and so helpful to us as we travel from this world to the next. We pray that You would direct our hearts and minds this morning, and may we do this as we study, pray, read, and think together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One comment. I said to the early morning crowd, and I'll say to the crowd that's here now, if you like, look in verse 2, you see that the word Lord, L-O-R-D, is in all capital letters. The reason that it's in all capital letters is that's God's personal name. Wherever you see it in all caps, He's personal. He's not just, sometimes He's God, that's a title. And sometimes it's capital L, little O-R-D, which means He's King. He is God and He's King, but He's personal. And when you see this capital L-O-R-D, it's saying He's your personal God. And what I want you to note as I read this, how many times He uses that term. I want you to also notice how often He uses the word keep. I also want you to note how often He says my, and often He says your. So let's read it together. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you're going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now please keep this passage of Scripture before you, and may God be pleased to bless us. One of the most important things in most of our lives today is security. We buy health insurance if we can afford it, because we want to be secure if we go through a time of illness. We buy home insurance for our property because if a hurricane or something else happens to our house, we'll have some security that we can rebuild and go on somewhat with our lives. We have all kind of things that we have in our lives that are securities. And as we live in this dark and evil world in which we're living, we need personal securities. But you need to understand this morning that there are other securities that are even more important. And those more important securities are those that are spiritual. You need a God who is for keeps. And you need a God who never sleeps, taking care of your life. Psalm 121 is your and my security as we move through life. I'm going to preach a sermon this morning and say a few things, but I want you to understand, I know you're going to get sick and I'm going to get sick. I know I may get cancer and I may die. I know that not everything in life is easy. I've got two replaced knees from football injuries and bad shoulders that I had repaired. I know my body's not in perfect health and shape, but I'm very confident and sure that the God that I love and serve and His Son Jesus Christ is my keeper at every step of my life. And I know that if I were to die tonight, I would go to be with my Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. I'm secure. But let's talk about it together for a few moments. And I want to open up this passage under a number of things. But I just want to remind you one other thing before I dive into it. Five times in this psalm, you see God's personal name, Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Four times in this psalm, the Lord is called He. Six times in this psalm, the Hebrew word keeper or keep is found. And it's kind of a reminder that our personal God is for keeps. And to make it simple, I want to say one statement to you before I open it up. All of these nouns and verbs about Him, His love, He, Yahweh, your Lord and God, your King, is basically telling you that you have a God who is preoccupied in taking care of you all the days of your life. Okay? A few things. First of all, I want you to leave this sermon this morning having a very strong conviction that God's care is steady and certain. Look at verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. When my brother Ed and myself and my brother Steve were being raised, there was a hymn that we sang that we loved very deeply. It's a hymn that's still in our Trinity hymnal, and I haven't sung it in a number of years, but my dad loved it. It was the hymn, God Takes Care of You. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. Often our worship, we recite the Apostles' Creed. And this morning you did the Apostles' Creed. And your pastor asked you, what do you believe? And you gave an answer. I think that's what the psalmist is doing in verse 1. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Answer? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's kind of like a catechism question. But what does it mean when he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills? Why are the hills so concerning to this guy? Well, if he was on a pilgrimage, you see, to go to Jerusalem with his family, and he maybe had a bull or some sheep he was carrying to be sacrificed in the Old Testament. They had to go through hills, and sometimes those hills were hills of great anticipation. They could not wait to get to the holy city. They could not wait to worship in Jerusalem. And so maybe he's talking about people being real happy, anticipating their worship yet to come. Or perhaps those were hills of intimidation, because we know that there's where robbers hide. And we also know that there are wild beasts in those woods. And they could have had a little bit of fear of what might happen with them as they made their travel to Jerusalem. Or maybe those hills were hills of temptation. You know, you say, what do you mean? Well, in the Old Testament, there were people called Baal worshipers who lived in Israel. And they built their churches in the hills, and they were called the high places that you often read of in the book of Kings and Chronicles. And there they would have all kinds of weird worship, a lot of sexual worship, things that were not approving to God. And it would stand as a temptation maybe to some who were making their way to Jerusalem. I don't know the answer to those questions. I lift up my eyes to, from whence cometh my help? But I know the answer. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What the psalmist does is he flees from all possibilities into the lap and into the bosom of the Lord his God. He's saying this: I have a deep conviction about God's taking care of me as I move through this world. He's saying, my God, notice he says, made the heavens and the earth. And if he can make the heavens and the earth, he can take care of my problems as I walk through this world. If he can create the cosmos with all of its vastness, his eye is still on me as I live my life. I read this thing from a good friend of mine, Dr. Ralph Davis. But just listen to this. Sometimes I think we think the saints of the Old Testament were stupid. And I do grant that they weren't stupid. They knew a lot of things. But I would say to you this morning, you know a lot more. Listen to this. Did you know that the belly around the sun is 864,000 miles across it? Do you know that it loses 4 million tons of mass every second in terms of fuel? And still it'll last 5,000 million more years at that rate. And do you know something else? The sun is just an average-sized star. There are others out there. A Voyager 1 was sent out in 1967, right after I finished the University of Southern Mississippi. And they sent that Voyager, and it's out there in space right now, and it's going 33,000 miles an hour. Do you know how long it's going to take that Voyager to make it to the sun, if it makes it at all? Just 80,000 years. And the psalmist is saying, our God made the heavens and the earth. If he can do that, he can take care of you. And he can take care of me in our everyday concerns. He takes care of your needs. He's personally, you can say, he's my helper. I was born in 1949, and I was born right after World War II, where my daddy served overseas. And but many of you will remember, well, not many of you will remember, Harry Truman was president of the United States at the end of World War II. We're getting older in our generation, aren't we? Harry Truman was a man that had to make a decision of whether or not to drop the atomic bombs on Japan. That was a hard, hard decision. But he did. It's the only time in history that atomic bomb has been dropped and used in warfare. And I remember when I was at the Southern Miss, we were having an ethics class, and my final examination question was simply this: should or should not Harry Truman have dropped atomic bombs on Japan? Now, I don't get involved in politics, and my own personal position was if he did not, there would have been many, 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 many more people that would have died, and he probably made the right decision. But I'm not trying to do politics here. What I'm trying to say is, you may think bad about Truman for doing that. He didn't care about humanity. But you go ask his White House staff about that if they were alive. He treated his staff, no matter if they were cooks or whether they were servants, He treated them with such respect. And he would bring those big people in from England and presidents from France and all the nations. But he would take his individual people and he would introduce them to these leaders and say, "This is my cook and she's wonderful. And this is the guy that cleans the bathroom. And you need to get to know him better." He was a very personal person. He had to make a horrific decision. But in his life, he really cared for people. Well, Harry Truman's not God. But your God is greater than that. And your God cares for you. And he will take care of you. And you need to be certain of that. There's a song we often sing in our churches, and I think y'all sing it here at Lakeland. Before the throne of God above. Listen to how personal it is. I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. And it goes on and says, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. One with himself, I cannot die. My life is hidden with Christ on high. My brothers and sisters, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning and are trusting in him and him alone for salvation, you're not a faceless person with God. You are not faceless. And he loves you. And he cares for you individually and personally. And he will until you take your last breath on this earth. And then he will take care of you throughout all eternity. And you need to think sometimes. And you need to consider very deeply that God's care is beautiful. Secondly, you must have a strong conviction about how constant his care is. I'm going to build upon that. I want you to see how constant this is. Look at verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. In other words, he's saying, your foot's not going to stagger. I'm never going to get drowsy. I'm never going to go to sleep. I'm always going to be keeping my people. Your foot will be protected. It may not mean you not scrap it. It may not mean you might not break a leg or something. He's showing how constant God's care is over the events of our life. He never goes to sleep. We have a God who never goes to sleep. What does that mean? You know, we look at that and we say, meh. You know, well, he doesn't. But you know, back in the days of the Old Testament, they had all kinds of gods that they worshipped. And you may remember the story of Elijah. And Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal, and there are 450 of them. And there's Elijah, and they're supposed to get their bull and offer it over here, but they can't use any fire. They're supposed to call upon their God to bring down fire. And Elijah's over here, and he's got his bull, and he's going to call down fire. And so they keep on going from morning to night. Oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. And Elijah turns to them and says, cry louder. Cry louder. For he's a God, isn't he? I'm paraphrasing. He says, maybe he's looking in a mirror at his face and doesn't see you right now. Or maybe he's in the bathroom relieving himself or on a journey. Or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened. Yell some more. Wake him up. Well, the point is, in the psalm, is that God never sleeps. He is constant in his looking after his people. I like that. He's not only a God who's for keeps, but he's a God who never sleeps. There's a Bible scholar by the name of Eugene Peterson. And listen to him. This is where it gets practical for your life. He says that the only serious mistake that you can ever make if you get sick or you get too anxious or when conflict enters into your relationships with other people is to conclude that God has gotten bored with you and is looking after some other Christian. Or that he's just shifted his attention to somebody else who's more cool than you. Are these more interested in what's going on in the Middle East to help and sort out the complicated things in my life? Or maybe he's too concerned about when he's going to come back or not. And Peterson says, God's interest in you as an individual Christian does not wax or wane with the events that take place. He is always there with his people. Okay. He's never stressed out. He's not an insomniac. He never sleeps. He cares and loves his people at all stages of their life. I know that's hard to soak in. I know that it's hard when you have to watch a loved one die. Or when you see a loved one maybe that moves into Alzheimer's or has something wrong. But I can assure you that if they're in Jesus Christ, God is watching over them. And he is taking care of them in ways that you cannot imagine. And there are times you just have to let go and you have to trust him and know that no matter what, he is the keeper of his people at all stages of their life. That encourages me as a pastor. Because you don't know the things that I see. And the valleys sometimes that I have to walk through. Okay, thirdly. And I'll move on. Let's move. We talked about that his care for us and all this is certain, that it's constant. And now I want you to see that it's close. Look at verse 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He's saying here that God is very, very close. You'll notice here again, he uses the word your. You see that? 5 and 6. Your. That is singular in the Hebrew. In other words, he's not talking about everybody out there. He's talking about your, individually. He's saying that the Lord is your keeper. He's yours. He says, the shade at your right hand. Now, I'm standing up here at this pulpit right now, and there are lights up here. And when I put my hand right there on the pulpit, you know, I can see the print of my hand across the wood. And that's what he's saying, the shade on your right hand, that close, that God in his care and in his love and in his keeping, he's that close to you, the shade of your right hand. It's an amazing thing. You're, he says. He's concerned about you, his people, individually. He's your keeper. He's your shade. He shelters you. The sun and the moon. Back in those days, people believed the sun and the moon was God. A lot of people worshiped the sun and moon as God. Remember when Moses went down to Egypt? And he's going to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And God sent the plagues. Remember that one of the plagues was that the sun was darkened for how long? 3 days and three nights. You know why? Because the Egyptians worshipped the sun god by the name of Amun-Re. You can read it in history. That was their major god. They worshipped the sun. And God says, okay, I'm going to eclipse him for 3 days so that you know that I am God, and there is no other. He bound up Amun-Re. But this is the God who's close, see to his people. Okay, now we've said three things. Certain, his care is for us is certain, it's constant, it's close, and it's continuous. That's why he says in verse 7 and 8, let me read those. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He will keep your going out and your coming in forever and evermore. I'm about through. Okay, so listen to me carefully. Just note how emphatic he is as he ends the psalm. Look at it. In the last two verses, the Lord, Yahweh, he will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. Yahweh will keep your going out, your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. It is comprehensive. He will keep, he will keep, he will keep. He is a God for keeps for his people. And he wants you to get excited this morning about the totality of his protection and love for his people. That's what I want you to leave here this morning, thinking. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. He'll take care of you from all disaster, because Satan will not ultimately have any claim upon you if you're in Jesus Christ. None. He'll protect you from evil. He'll protect you in all circumstances, your going out and your coming in. And he'll do it for all times. He'll do it for death, and I guarantee he'll do it after death. God will take care of you. All threats, in all your routines, in all of your future, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will take care of you. I know it's hard to get that down into your heart. I know. I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like to suffer. But his care will be greater. Do not fear, my brothers and sisters. He has overcome the world. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning that you're a God who is for keeps. We thank you that you're a God who never sleeps. That your care is constant, your provision is wonderful. And help us to leave this place today trusting you. Yes, yes, we will face hard times. Yes, yes, we may even face persecution. But you're there. Your shade. Oh Lord, be gracious and good. And help us to trust in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.